The reality is, if we are about God's work, we're going to face opposition. And we're going to see throughout the book of Nehemiah that this opposition is in human form. We're going to see it from that level. We're going to see how Nehemiah, a godly man, responds to this opposition.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a phone comment from Kathy from Texas. She says, "Thank you, God bless you. I love your program, and I'm praying for you." Well, Kathy, thank you so much for your encouragement, and we so appreciate the prayers of those who are listening. It is such a blessing for us to hear. So thank you so much, and we praise the Lord for his encouragement through you.
And Greg, today we begin a 3-day look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, in preparation for Nehemiah chapter 2. So why did you choose this passage?
Well, you're just going to have to wait to find out. So turn with us to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 9.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
What do you think of when you think of the word enemy? One dictionary defines it as one who is antagonistic to another, one who is seeking to injure, seeking to overthrow, to confound, speaks of an opponent, speaks of harmful and things that are deadly towards you. What do you think of when you think of an enemy? Have you ever had a personal enemy? Have you ever had someone who was your enemy, who was opposed to you, who desired to destroy you, basically? Have you ever had that? Well, in Matthew chapter 13, we see that the devil is the Lord's enemy. And when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we are in union with him. We are the body of Christ, and we are his children. We are God's children through Christ. And therefore, God's enemy, Satan, is now our enemy. Now, in our study of Nehemiah, we've come to a point where the enemies of the Israelites who want to serve the Lord and Nehemiah are manifest. Look in Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah 2, verse 9. "Then I came to the governors of the provinces beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent with me officers of the army and horsemen." Now we're going to see this next week, but Nehemiah is on his journey from Susa, the capital of the Persian Empire, to Jerusalem. He's been given permission by the king to leave. God's good hand has been upon him to grant that. And he's on his way. He's on his way. And the word gets out that he's on his way. Verse 10, "And when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about it, it was very displeasing to them that someone had come to seek the welfare of the sons of Israel." We're going to see, and there's actually 6 times we're going to see in the book of Nehemiah that the term enemy is used to describe these men and what they do towards the sons of Israel and Nehemiah. Indeed, we see that they begin to try to confound with their opposition. And by the way, we're going to see that when you want to serve the Lord, there's going to be opposition. When you want to do what's right in your marriage, when you want to do what's right at work, when you want to do what's right in church, you're going to be opposed, especially when you desire to serve the Lord. Look a little farther in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19. "But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Gershom the Arab heard it, they mocked." This is about the walls being started up and being built, the Jews doing that. "They mocked us and despised us and said, 'What is this thing you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king?'" They're going to put false accusations out so that the king might remember his stop edict before. If you were with us last week, we've heard about that. And so he says here, "So I answered," this is Nehemiah, "and said to them, 'The God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem.'" So you see that opposition beginning to take place. Look in chapter 4 of Nehemiah. Look in chapter 4. "Now it came about when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. Verse 2 of chapter 4. And he spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burnt ones? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was near him and said, even what they're building, if a fox should jump on it, it would break their stone wall down. Hear, O God, how we are despised. Notice the opposition. They're being despised. Return their reproach on their heads and give them up for plunder in a land of captivity. Do not forgive their iniquity and let their sin not be blotted out before thee. For they have demoralized the builders. You've got those who are going against the work of God, trying to demoralize those who are working in it. And look down a little farther in chapter 4. Verse 7, now it came about when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard of the repairs of the walls of Jerusalem went on, that the breaches began to be closed, they were very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem to cause a disturbance in it. But we prayed to our God, and because of them we set up a guard against them day and night. And even later on, verse 11, and our enemies said, they will not know or see when we come among them and kill them. They're after them and put a stop to the work. These evil men wanted to stop the work of God. That was their goal, and they were going to do that by discouraging, despising, frightening, even bringing physical violence. And notice in chapter 6, verse 1, now it came about when it was reported to Sanballat, Tobiah, to Gershom the Arab, and to the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall. Now it's done, right? That it's getting done, that no breach remained, and although at this time I had not set up the doors, the gates. So it's not completely done, but it's pretty done. It's getting close. Then Sanballat and Gershom sent a message to me. Now this is to Nehemiah himself. They're going to try to intimidate him, okay? Saying, come and let us meet together at Chephirim and the plain of Ono, but they were planning to harm me. That's what he says. So I sent messengers to them. He said, I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. I love this. I hope you've been reading through Nehemiah. It's great. Nehemiah is a man of faith, and his responses are in the Lord, righteous and bold and courageous and wise. He says, I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. Why should my work stop while I leave and come down to you? And they sent messengers to me four times in this manner, and I answered them the same way. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me in the same manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. It is written, it is reported among the nations, and Gashmu says that you and the Jews are planning to rebel, therefore you're rebuilding the wall, and that you are their king according to these records. And you have appointed prophets to proclaim in Jerusalem concerning you, a king is in Judah. And now it is reported to the king according to these reports. So come now, let us counsel together. We're going to tattletale on you to the king, a falsehood that makes him think you're going to rebel. That's what they're trying to do. Now notice what he says here. Then I sent a message to him saying, such things as you are saying have not been done, but you are inventing them in your own mind. For all of them were trying to frighten us. They're trying to scare them, right? With the official letters with the government and all this, trying to scare them, right? Thinking they will become discouraged with the work and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. Is this great? It's great. Then look down at verse 13 of chapter 6. Now, this is about a bad guy who is a prophet who's going to give Nehemiah some prophecy, but he was a hired prophet by the bad guys. So now it gets religious. Notice this, and we'll see later on there's a lot of religious tones with some intermixing with Tobiah and the temple and other things, and Sanballat had an intermarrying. We'll see some intermarrying problems with this also. Verse 13 of chapter 6, and he was hired for this reason that I might become frightened, that was the bad prophet guy, and act according in sin. Trying to frighten you so that you'll sin, trying to discredit you so that they might have an evil report in order that they could reproach me. Remember, O my God, Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these works of theirs, and also Nodea the prophetess and the rest of the prophets who were trying to frighten me. The reality is, if we are about God's work, we're going to face opposition. And we're going to see throughout the book of Nehemiah that this opposition is in human form. We're going to see it from that level. We're going to see how Nehemiah, a godly man, responds to this opposition. But we, on whom the end of the ages have come, have even much more revelation, understanding that, as we see in Ephesians chapter 6, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. We have a spiritual foe who spiritually energizes in an evil, wicked way those who are in his domain and those men and women who would oppose those who desire to do God's work. And so for that, I decided today to take a look at our spiritual foe, our enemy, and how we are to respond to him. And we will keep this in mind to add to what we see in Nehemiah as we see how Nehemiah responds to those enemies that come upon him. That in mind, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at verse 8 and 9. Now, Peter is writing chosen sojourners who are temporary residents, temporary aliens on this earth. That's us. That's believers. Those who have been born again to salvation through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Born again to a living hope. He's talking to believers. In the first portion of this book, he begins to explain the realities of our salvation in Christ and the ramifications of that salvation. It's because of this great salvation that we are to fix our hope on Christ alone. We're to live holy in the context of fear. We're to love the body of Christ and that we're to yearn for the milk of the word. Because God is building up a spiritual house that we would give spiritual sacrifices to him. That we would be those, a distinct people, who would proclaim his excellencies. Those who were not his people, but now are his people, who hadn't received mercy, but now have received mercy. And then in chapter 2, we begin the application portion of 2 Peter, where we see in verse 12, as aliens and temporary residents in this earth, we are to stay far away from fleshly lusts which wage war with our soul. And the rest of the book coming up to there is how we do that in relationship to the differing relationships that we have and the suffering that will come upon us. Indeed, how we are to have our behavior excellent among Gentiles, certainly with governing authorities and slaves and masters, and how we do so, knowing we've been called for this purpose to suffer, to follow in the footsteps of Christ, that we would keep entrusting ourselves to the one who judges righteously, just like Jesus did. And God would use through our suffering his redemptive purposes around us. And then we saw in chapter 3 that we are to be kind-hearted. We're to be humble towards one another, have the sympathetic mindset to be loving towards one another, kind-hearted, sympathetic, brotherly, sympathetic towards one another, knowing that God's ear is attentive to the righteous. His ear is turning away from the wicked, but when you are doing what is right, his ear is upon the righteous. And we see how we are and what we are to do right in light of relationships, whether it's the marriage relationship, whether it is a relationship to our boss, as we saw earlier, a relationship to government, whatever it might be. And so here we come then to chapter 4, in which we see that in light of Christ's suffering, we need to arm ourselves for the same expectations, in a sense. We need to think rightly about our suffering, submitting ourselves to God, trusting in him who judges righteously. Because he's using it to bring about his redemptive purposes and to refine us. And indeed, if he's going to allow difficulty to come upon his children to refine them, fiery ordeals, what is the outcome for those who reject the gospel, right? And then we come to chapter 5, and in chapter 5, we're going to see in this context that we have some final exhortations regarding, first of all, the leaders, the elders in the church. And then we have some exhortations for us. And within this, we're going to see how to respond to the opposition that comes to us, with Satan ultimately being behind it. Chapter 5, verse 8. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. That's wonderful. So how can we withstand the devil's opposition? It comes through people, but ultimately he's behind it. How do we keep from being discouraged and quitting? How do we keep from being frightened? How do we keep from not trusting the Lord, but leaning on our own wisdom or focusing on the circumstances, whatever it might be? Well, notice he says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We need to remember we have a spiritual adversary. Yes, you've got the Sanballats and the Tobiases, and I can name some names from our church that go right along with that. You know the names, right? We have those ones, right? But behind that, we have the devil. He is the adversary. He is our adversary because we are in Christ, and he is the Lord's enemy, and we are the Lord's. Says your adversary, that speaks of one who is an opponent, an enemy, one who constantly is hostile towards you. You know, Satan is constantly hostile towards believers. Now, he will let you alone if you're sinning and on doing his will, basically. He's fine with that because that accomplishes his wicked ways and destroys you. He'll devour you. But if you're wanting to do the right thing, you want to do the right thing in your marriage. You want to do the right thing at work. You want to do the right thing at church. You want to do the right thing at school. You're going to be opposed by an adversary. We have an adversary, Satan. We need to understand that. And he is going to seek a weak believer in the faith to devour. He's going to seek out one, look for one like a lion does. Now, he's a roaring lion. He's got his enemy teeth. They were taken out at Calvary. Christ has defeated Satan. But Satan can still come after us if we allow him to do so and ignore the truth of God and don't obey God, where we would be protected completely if we do. So then, we see we have an adversary. We know, as I mentioned earlier, Ephesians 6, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Hey, Nehemiah did not struggle against Sanballat and Tobiah. Well, yes, he did, but no, he didn't. Yes, he did. No, he didn't. No, his struggle was ultimately against Satan, right? But it came in manifest through Sanballat and Tobiah and the wicked people, right? But if you only see it through the physical portion, then you will not respond rightly because God tells us ultimately our struggle is not against them. It's against our evil foe, Satan. And therefore, we need to respond differently in a different way, which involves faith and trust in the Lord, and that is going to defeat. Now, you're going to see, and we're going to see, that Nehemiah exhibits this firm in the faith. He resists those things over and over again, and he stands firm in the faith, trusting the Lord. All of his responses are, no, 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 God's going to give us success. No, 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 God will bring us completion. You have no part of this. Nehemiah is trusting the Lord. He is walking firm in the faith. And praise the Lord protected him. So then our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it does come in the context of people. Even Paul understood that. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. It comes in the context of people. It's people. Paul would say, Alexander the Conqueror did me much harm. Hey, Alexander, not a good guy. The Lord will repay him, right? Hymenaeus and Philetus, he names names. Talks about bad guys. Names the bad guys that messed with Moses in 2 Timothy chapter 3. There are people that mess with God's people, right? But there's something behind it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, that we may be delivered from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. Hey, there is definitely a problem. So we need to be careful we don't sterilize our view of our enemy simply and focus on Satan alone. There are people that he's using, and we need to respond in a godly way, trusting the Lord in the midst of how they interact with us. But it's God who delivers us. So he asks for prayer, that we would be delivered from evil men. He's trusting the Lord, right? And then notice what he says. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. That's what's behind it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 about the false apostles. For such men are false apostles. I'll read this for you at verse 13. Deceitful workers disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. Satan's got servants. They're people. They're men that disguise themselves, right? They're bad guys. We're going to see later on in Nehemiah that these enemies actually were intermingled, that they had some type of a sense of being religious, as we'll see. Tobiah, especially, he had a place set up in the temple for him that Nehemiah had to kick him out of there. And there was intermarriage. And so it's all kind of mixed together there. But here, God's word reveals the hatred of their hearts. And God's word reveals how it manifests in their actions and then how Nehemiah responded. So then, we are those that the enemy uses. Certainly can tempt us straight out, right? We can be tempted in our thoughts, whatever it might be. You know, that certainly happens. But he uses people to come at us, to persecute us. Indeed, those who desire to live godly will be persecuted. So that's the bad guys come through. But sometimes, sadly, it comes through believers. Now, that's not the case with Nehemiah's time, but there was some issues where there was some difficulties. We'll see later on where believers were charging interest and there was a famine and stuff, and Nehemiah had to root that out. Okay, so there was some problem there too, right? But here, we see that even believers can actually be used by Satan. You know, Peter just said something that sounded kind of good. Lord, far be it. You go to the cross, basically. You have to suffer all that. Jesus had to say to him, get behind me, Satan. You're thinking man's thoughts, not God's. Okay? Believers can be used. We know in Ephesians chapter 4 that we are not to allow the sun to go down on our anger unless we give Satan a place, the devil an opportunity, a place in us. Man, you see that in believers' life? What a horrible thing that is, where Satan has a place in their view towards you or whatever it might be. Awful, awful, awful thing. That's with believers. We also know that if we don't forgive, we give Satan a place. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we're not to be ignorant, Paul says, of his schemes. He uses those things. And so then, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but often it's manifest in the context of flesh and blood. But we need to know how to respond by responding in terms of what God tells us concerning who we're actually struggling against, which is our adversary. Notice back in our passage in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, in verse 8, we have two imperative commands. We have be sober spirit, be alert, and then we have the reasoning. Okay? So first of all, we're going to look at the reasoning, then we'll look at those commands and finish up. Okay? Look at the reasoning. The reasoning is what I've been talking about already. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Well, who is the devil? What do we know about the devil from Scripture? Now, I'm not going to go as in-depth as I did when I first did 1 Peter, went through that. You can look at that, or when we went through Ephesians chapter 6, you can pull those up. I'm just going to kind of summarize from some of the passages.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, you mentioned that our battle is not against flesh and blood out of Ephesians chapter 6, yet we'll see in Nehemiah that opposition comes through men at times.
Yes, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but often it is manifest in the context of those being used by Satan. So how are we to respond when opposed? Well, as we've just begun to see, and we'll see in our next two broadcasts, it has to do with a biblical understanding of our enemy, Satan, his schemes, and then faith in our great Lord. So then it's our prayer that you'll make plans to join us for our next broadcast as we continue to look at how we can withstand the opposition Satan brings when we serve Christ.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.